Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, episode 58 here, and I'm Ezra Henry, doing a solo podcast today, so all alone, a little lonely in here today, but doing a preview for Detroit. We're back in the East Coast, and man, it's coming early this year. I really don't care for it, but at least this year, normally Detroit, the weather is kind of iffy. It's normally when the snow's melting, it's either, it depends on how Mother Nature treats us here up north, but man, it's, like last year was absolutely cold, and this year's going to be a lot better, which I know it really doesn't matter that much. It doesn't really matter for the riders. They're indoors, except for the riders that are pitting in their semi, but for the most part, they're all indoors and crammed in the little bit of pits that's indoors, which that's one thing. I love Detroit. The city's awesome for Supercross and go downtown. There's a lot of places to walk to. I know the narrative is that Detroit is horrible, but in the city is really cool. I wouldn't go that far out of the, you know, out of the city. I wouldn't trust that. But over the last 10 years, it's been gotten a lot better. It's been a lot better for sure. And it's really cool to go, especially if you get there early for qualifying, which it's going to be a little bit different, I guess, this year with it being a 3 p.m. race. But if you get there at a normal race or a normal year, I guess, with the race being at 6, it's awesome. You know, get there early for qualifying, kind of leave for a little bit, get some lunch, walk downtown. And there's a lot of cool things going on, and you know, possibly hit up the bar afterwards. And this year it's going to be quite different. The doors open at 8 a.m. Qualifying starts at 9, a little after 9, I believe. And the 450s hit the track first. And that's one thing I want to touch on here quickly as I start this episode here. The 450s are hitting the track first for the night show. A little bit different. We've seen it a little bit in the outdoors. As you guys probably know, every once in a while, we see the 450s switch, you know, flip-flop with the 250 class, and then it's just a traditional format right for there in the outdoors with the 450 motos being first and just switching. And besides that, you know, everything's the same, just a little bit odd, right? But this is quite different. They're doing it because of being on the main network of NBC and just trying to appeal to that new audience. And that's one thing. I hope we get some more fans in the sport. I want it to grow for sure. I just don't want it to get too big where it's like the NFL or the NBA where all these, it's like all this outside drama, right? It's getting all pushed in. And I think the moto world, I talked about a little bit in the last episode, I feel like the moto world is kind of back, and like we're back 15 years almost, 14 years ago. It's like 2010 right now. And there's not all this outside drama, no political crap being pushed. There's just guys here that, you know, race their dirt bikes and, you know, for the most part, have normal lives, and they're not pushing all these narratives. And for the fans, too, like, there's these fans just want to watch dirt bike racing. They just want to watch some good racing. And they're not like a lot of these NFL fans where you're just like it seems like everyone's losing their mind. And I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a diehard, huge football fan. A little bit heartbroken here. I had this podcast last week with Dean on Sunday. And it was right before the Lions game. I missed actually the whole AFC championship game doing this and jump in for the Lions game. And I'm a diehard Lions fan, man. And if you guys that follow football out there know that one was rough. They had that lead 24-7 and they blew it, man. And they were looking really good though. They surprised me. The 49ers I knew were a good team, but damn, the Lions look good. But I know this is a moto podcast, so I'm not going to talk about football for that much, but yeah, just it sucks, but we're back in their home stadium. They're in their home for this weekend, so it should be pretty cool. And I think it would be cool. Normally at this time, well, heck, normally we have Detroit in March, so the Lions season has been done for quite a while, right? In early January, but with them this year getting so far in the playoffs, and with Detroit Supercross being moved up, I think I didn't even really think about it until today, really, but we might possibly still have some Lions that are still in Michigan because normally they flock down south or whatever. Don't want to be in this BS cold state for the winter after the season. But heck, we might have some NFL players up the game, you know, watching the game, and hopefully they can bring in a new audience as well. And I don't know. I'll be on the lookout tomorrow for some Lions players, I guess, and it'd be cool to see them there. And we see it a lot, you know, when we go on the West Coast, and not too much this year, I guess, but just some athletes being out, and you know, we you know, having some coverage on some coverage on, like, I don't know, SportsCenter or whatever, but on Instagram or Facebook or whatnot. But yeah, I think we might have some NFL players here. So I don't know, I could be completely wrong on that. I know some of the guys, you know, following them, they're still here in Michigan, so who knows, they might show up. But yeah, I think the racing is going to be good. I guess what I was talking about a second ago was, oh yeah, the times being switched. So sorry, I'm known to just completely go off track, and just, especially with me, I feel like if I have a guest, I can stay on topic and kind of stay on the tracks. But when it's just me, I just start talking about the most random shit ever. So sorry about that, guys. And that's why I haven't consistently been doing preview episodes. I have actually did some, but just not have published them because of that. But I'll try to stay on track here. But yeah, so the start time is not only earlier, but we do have 4:50 heats first, and not only that, but the 4:50 heats start first, and they also finish last. So they, you know, finish like they normally do. But the thing that concerns me, and it's going to be really weird to see, and be weird, I guess, for the guys in the LCQ as well, is, so we had the 4:50 heats, then the 4:50 LCQ, the 4:50 LCQ, then the 2:50 LCQ, then the 2:50 main. And that time between the 2:50 LCQ, right? Did I say, yeah, 4:50 heats, 2:50 heats, 4:50 LCQ, and 2:50 LCQ. Yeah, I don't know. I might have said that same exact thing twice, but I don't know if I just mixed that up or whatever. I'm just trying to look up the schedule right now. So sorry about that, guys. But yeah, so we have, the thing is here is they don't even really have 10 minutes. We have the last 250 LCQ ending at 4:39 p.m. And here we go for the 250 main event sighting lap. It's 4:48. So from 4:39 to 4:48, that's how much time they have to recoup. And I just, you know, I'm praying that anyone that is in the last chance qualifier, their bike is all ready to go for the main event. Nothing's really hindering them on that, I guess, case, or you know, being physically just ready to go, and not even 10 minutes there, kind of, you know, regroup, and, you know, not even have enough time to go back to the pits at all. But man, that's going to be quite the turnaround there. And I don't know, I'm just going to see how it works out tomorrow and how it plays out. It should be really weird, but I guess that's one thing to keep an eye on for the top four guys in the LCQ and the 250 class. It's going to be a quick turnaround here for the main event. And but yeah, other than that, yeah, then it goes back to the traditional format for the main event. So we got the 250 main event first, then the 450 main event second, and we're back to the normal format of 15-minute and 20-minute main event length. So I think it should be some good racing. And I was talking about with someone yesterday just about, with it being a normal format again, I think it's going to be really good for Jet. The last 3 weeks have been really weird for Jet with the two mud races and just being off a little bit. And he even flashed a lot of speed in San Diego and then just made some mistakes and kind of just, he pretty much beat himself, right? And then, yeah, the whole thing with Anderson too was pretty crazy. But I don't know, you know, like last week, I feel like things would have been a lot different if he had a full race to work with. And even like he did come back that last moto and put a really good charge in until he crashed in the whoops, but he didn't have that much time to work with compared to a full on 20-minute length main event. And I think even if he doesn't get a start this weekend, I think he's still going to come up through the pack. I really don't want him to. I want everyone to stay healthy and like everything stay good on that end, but I don't want to see pure domination, and I don't know, I hope it's just some good racing this weekend. However that plays out, wherever, whoever gets the start or whatever's going on, if it's someone coming up the pack like Chase or possibly Jet, probably, you know, most likely Jet if he is getting a bad start coming through the pack, I'm just hoping for a good race. And I think it's going to be a really good reset for guys like Jet. AP needs to, I guess, just more or less keep this momentum going, and and hopefully, you know, Jet doesn't catch on fire and start charging up. And he's only 8 points down, so he's not too far back. But yeah, the top two KTM guys are right there. So I wouldn't be surprised if the red plate stays on the KTM. It might just, you know, switch bikes here over the Chase Sexton's bike. But I wouldn't be surprised. And I would really like to see AP keep this momentum, though. You know, last year, he looked really good. He caught me off guard for sure. I remember I was making my fantasy picks, and I did not have him up there. I'm not saying I didn't pick him for the win, but I didn't even have him up there in the top three last year. And I just remember watching him in the main event, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he was not like he won that where guys like Tomac and Chase got a bad star, and he just got out front early and kind of pulled away and then just kind of managed that gap. He was pulling those guys early on, and those guys were right there. All those guys got a pretty good start, and he was just pulling those guys and led that, you know, that it's been the story of the year, I guess even going into last year, right after it happened, is he pretty much led that whole main event and, you know, threw it away with a lap and, what, two corners to go. So I think he got redemption in San Diego for sure, but I think he, you know, going back in the Ford Field, he has, you know, he just obviously wants to get a win. I think everyone does, right? That lines up. But I think, you know, he has a bone to pick with Ford Field here. So I think he's going to come out swinging, especially he has a red plate. So he has a target on his back. And I think it should be a pretty good round for him. But I think for the guys out front, like the top three guys in the points right now are Plessinger, Sexton, and Webb. They just need to get some momentum going and keep it. And going back to football for a quick second, momentum is huge. And I know a lot of people, like, they're debating on ESPN and stuff about how people say how momentum isn't real in a sport. And I think each sport is different for sure. But, like, for football, I was watching it in the third quarter when the Lions had a 17-point lead. You can just see the momentum shift. And it seems like when the momentum shifts, just almost like dumb things that shouldn't go wrong start going wrong. And it's almost like forgetting everything and kind of like you just need to hit that reset button, right? And I was watching it in that game last week, and it was just like, even though they had a huge lead going in late in the third quarter there, it's like I did not have a good feeling, and I thought they were kind of screwed, and they were, unfortunately. And going back over into motocross here, I think that momentum thing is real to real too. I think if a guy like Jet catches on fire and he starts clicking off win after win, I think it's going to be something for him and the other guys. I think it's going to be huge for both those, for both him, you know, keep on clicking that off, and huge for the other guys to where, like, they just feel like they don't have that. And guys like Sexton and guys that should be up there, like Sexton and Webb and Tomac, I think they just need to kind of stop that from Jet and just keep it a really good championship. And I think it's, like, honestly, I don't think it's too much of really a hot take at all or anything, but I think there's a lot of contenders in this championship, a lot of guys that could potentially win it. You know, Tomac, Chase, Jet, and a lot of race winners, I believe, like Anderson and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be a heavyweight fight for sure this whole championship season. But I think there's only one guy that can run away with it, and that's Jet. And I think everyone just needs to do anything they can in their house and in their wheelhouse to just keep that from happening. So whatever those guys can do, and guys like AP and stuff, to start clicking off wins and just to throw Jet off. I feel like once he gets one win, it's so huge. And I know if any of you guys play other sports or race a lot, I you guys know that the momentum is a real thing for sure, and it is huge. And at every level of, I believe, anything competitive, if you get that momentum going, it is definitely huge. And I think it's, not only is it huge to have that momentum on your side, but if you don't have that momentum on your side, it just feels like you're absolutely screwed. And it's one thing, it's kind of hard to explain to some people that don't believe in that. And the thing is, I was seeing that whole debate, like, after football this week about momentum in sports and how people think that's not true. But it's like, it's insane. It's like this feeling that you can't really describe. And once you're out there with doing whatever the heck you're doing, and you get that, or you have that against you, it's these two huge feelings that dramatically, I think, affect the outcome of whatever it is. So I feel like it's going to be a heavyweight fight, like I said, but there's only one guy that can get that momentum going. Like, I think Chase could do really good, and he proved last year that he had the speed, you know, with all those fast qualifying times, and he was the guy throughout the championship in the main event that had that raw speed, and just stuff would, you know, he had his own issues, and kind of he would beat himself a lot, but I think that's not going to be the case this year at all. I think he might be more of that. He might play a different type of role this year. I still picture him being up there a lot, but I think there's only going to be one runaway. But then again, those guys can keep it intact, where like guys like Plessinger, Sexton, and Webb, and Tomac, and Anderson, and stuff like that, they can be up there and keep that momentum from building up and keep it just, you know, every round being different and coming out full force. But anyways, don't want to keep these preview pods too long and don't want to start saying too much nonsense. I want to keep it straight and to the point here. So I will get into the top 10 450 points here. We got our points leader, Aaron Plessinger, with 80 points. Second is Chase Sexton with 76 points. Third is Cooper Webb with 74 points. Fourth is Jet Lawrence with 72 points. Fifth is Eli Tomac with 70 points. Sixth is Jason Anderson with 67 points. Seventh is Dylan Ferrandis with 62 points. Eighth is Ken Roczen with 57 points. Ninth is Justin Barsha with 49 points. And rounding out your top 10 is Jorge Prado with 45. And obviously, very sad to see him go, but he went over back to Europe to get ready for the MXGP Championship. But, you know, taking the takeaways, I guess, from his stay over here in the U.S., he killed it, I believe. I didn't really know where to put him going into the year, but I felt like he did pretty good. It's really hard to kind of tell, or not hard to tell, but hard to say how it would have went if we've had four dry rounds. But with those two mud rounds, and he had two, you know, dry Anaheim rounds there, I feel like it still went really good. He got a heat race win. I wouldn't really focus too much on that because it was a mud race, and he got that start there. But besides that, I think he did pretty good, and you can see him, you know, keep on getting better and better throughout his stay here. So that was really cool to see, and hopefully he is stoked and he kind of hooked on the U.S. side of motocross and got that supercross fever, you know, doing a new discipline here in the sport, and hopefully he'll be coming back here for 2025. That's one thing I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on, and we've talked about it on the podcast. Seems like a really good guy there, or guy. He is, and it would be really cool to see him in the championship. But anyways, there's the top 10 for the 450 class, 250 class, coming the East Coast coming in for the first time. So we don't obviously have points going for that, but we have a lot of guys, and I've talked about it a lot, how the 250 West class, I feel like over the years has been the A class. If there's like for these regions, if there's an A and B region, I felt like 250 West was the A region forever. There was always like the field was always so deep, so many heavy hitters, and you'd get over the East Coast and there'd be like a couple of contenders in there, and then the field was pretty weak for the most part besides that. And it has been changing though over the last couple of years, but this year is a hell of a lot different. One thing I want to, I guess, state first is it's really unfortunate that has just been announced, I think yesterday, or it might have been earlier today. I believe that was yesterday. That Enzo Lopes is not racing. Was really pumped to see him, you know, come out and Detroit and start his new campaign here in the East Coast with his new team, Star Racing Yamaha, but that will be delayed. So hopefully he can be 100% going into whatever round he decides, you know, he comes out in. But yeah, I feel like he's going to be one to watch too. He had a really good year last year with Club MX Yamaha, so excited to see him with Star and the million other riders they have. But I think, you know, he's one guy to keep your eye on, but it is a really deep field, so I don't expect him doing any better really than he did last year in results wise, because the field is so deep. But I still, even if he does worse results-wise, I think there would still be more takeaways, I guess, more or less, and I think he can ride better than he did last year, and there's to be some really positive takeaways. But we have guys like Hayden Deegan. He's coming off injury, though. We've had guys like that have contended for titles in the past, like Austin Faulkner. We got McAdoo in here, Tom Viel, Seth Hanmaker, Max Anstey, Jeremy Martin, Pierce Brown, Chase Hymus, Jalik Swole, and rookies like Tim Ferry's son, Evan Ferry. So I think this East region has a wide range of riders here, where we have guys coming in like not really the new kid on the block, but Hayden Deegan, the up-and-coming talent, right? He had a really great rookie season last year in Supercross, carrying that over into motocross and the Super Motocross playoffs, ended up getting that championship, and he just kept on building and building last year and ended up looking really good throughout the whole championship. And I think he's going to come out doing really good this year. Obviously, he was hurt there for a bit. So it's going to be a little bit different, I guess, coming into the season. But I still think he's going to come out doing really good. Then we have guys like Faulkner. Faulkner should have won a couple titles by now. He had that one a few years ago that Chase Sexton ended up winning. I believe Faulkner got hurt in East Rutherford. I'm 95% sure that was East Rutherford. A few years back, and he was that guy that had the red plate, contending for titles. He was the guy to beat for a while, and then he's just been another rider that deal with injuries. And, you know, just trying to come back from that is so hard. And we've talked about that before in the episode, and I believe Joey might have talked about that on here as well. Just coming back from it is so hard. I believe a lot of fans, that expect these guys, and even these big-name guys, if they get hurt, to come out right where they were, you know, pick up pretty much right where they left off before, which you really don't see that happen. And like, that's the thing for Tomac, that he's, besides a couple things like his gnarly shoulder injuries, he's been pretty healthy, you know, knock on wood. Oh, jeez, hiccup there. He's been pretty healthy, knock on wood, throughout his whole career, pretty much, besides those gnarly shoulder injuries he had there at Thunder Valley. But guys, like, even last year, going back to Chase Sexton, he missed a couple rounds there in the outdoors early on in the championship, and he looked like he was going to be out there contending with Jet Lawrence, and Paulo was a really good race, and he, you know, just barely got beat, but it was a really good race to watch, and a lot of action in it. And then when he jumped back into the outdoors, he was just behind. He was behind the eight ball, and you know, Jet Lawrence is building that momentum throughout the season there, and Chase jumped in, and that's really not that great of a one to compare to, because it was only a couple weeks. But like Joey talked about it before with his injuries, it's just so hard to come back and be at that level that you were when these guys that you were battling with, right, have kept on training, they've kept on getting those gate drops, they're progressing, they are getting better. And it's hard to jump back in to, you know, be where you were, let alone, you know, be better than where you were. So I think it's going to be, I just have a lot of hope for Faulkner. He's been dealing with a lot of stuff, and he hasn't, even when he is racing, he hasn't been that far up, been doing that great at all. He hasn't won a win, though, in Supercross. I will give him that for sure. But besides that, he hasn't been doing that great, and I've said it. Like, I haven't been the biggest Faulkner fan that much in my life, and honestly, over the last couple of years, you know, he's starting to grow on me here, and I am becoming kind of a Faulkner fan, a low-key Faulkner fan here. And I hope for him to come out and be battling there for a title, if it's with Hayden Deegan or if it's with Max Anstey. I just really hope for him to be out there, and I think he can do it. It's just getting that time in on the bike and keep on building, and it would be cool to see. But you got guys like him coming out. Hayden Deegan, the new, not the new, but the young kid in the field, coming out looking really good. Guys like Viel absolutely killed it in the GPs and the MX2 class, coming over here, making that transition over the Supercross last year, and I think he did a pretty good job, had some setbacks, but for the most part, overall, he did a really good job last year, I feel like. But now he's coming in the year two with that Red Bull KTM team, I think there could be a lot of hope for VL being up there. And you got guys like McAdoo. If McAdoo can stay on two wheels, he's proven that he has the speed. Hanmaker's been really good as well. And then you got guys like Max Anstey. He's the older guy in the class. He He has a lot of experience of being out front and being in the mix. Big GP guy, right? So he has a lot of experience like that. You got Jeremy Martin that is not really a supercross. He's not a supercross guy, but he's a lot of experience being out front, and he's been killer in the 250 class over the years. And like I said, supercross hasn't been his forte really at all. But last year at Detroit, I was watching him the whole day, and he was absolutely on fire all day long, and that was really cool to see last year. And he did he put in a really good ride, so it'd be really cool to see him come out and do that. I really don't know where to put him though, because the field is so stacked, but I hope he can just come out and start, you know, come out swinging, right? But then you got guys like Pierce Brown that I still think he has a lot of potential, but you got guys like Hymus, you know, and a younger kid in the field, and that's going to be one to watch. You got guys like Hymus that has shown that he's looked really good in the past, I guess over the last year or so, right? But you got guys like Anstey. So I think Anstey's going to be carrying that Honda flag, and he is on the Firepower team, you know, not on that factory Honda team, but I think he's going to be the guy for the Honda 250 class. And I don't mean that just in the East Coast. I mean for the West Coast. You know, like last year, they dominated everything, right? Honda was on fire. And then this year, the West Coast, they've been off with Shimoda. Shimoda has not been on his A game at all. And then the East Coast, they have a young kid here with Hymus that I'm not saying is going to be back at, you know, back far in the field at all, but I think he'll do good. But I think the guy, you know, leading the red group, I don't know, I was going to come up with a saying, but you know, I wasn't coming up with anything clever that quick. But leading, I guess, the team, the Honda group there, I think he's, yeah, going to be leading that and leading those guys. So yeah, I think it should be some really good racing though. Anstey has had that off season gate drops under his belt though. Like a lot of guys have had that, I wouldn't say long off season, but that little bit of an off season, and now they're coming back, you know, getting the gate drops for the first time. And I think he's somewhat, it's been a little bit, a while since the Australian Supercross and World Supercross, but I think he's going to come out kind of with some momentum on his side, and it should be something to watch for. But anyways, there's a lot of things to watch for tomorrow. Friday here, right before Detroit. Sorry for making this episode so late, guys, but kind of a last-minute thing here. But yeah, it should be some really good racing tomorrow. The weather is pretty good for the most part here. Right above freezing, so it's not going to be as bad as last year, but yeah, should be some good racing. I feel like I say it a lot, but I truly mean it every time, but I think this should be the best racing. I'm honestly more excited than this, I'm more excited than A1, so this should be a really good thing to watch, and I'm not 100% sure I'm going yet. The plan was to go. It's kind of been up in the air and kind of back and forth with everything going on right now. But if I go or if I don't go, you know, I'm watching this on TV. I'm still really stoked on. I think there's going to be a lot of good things to watch for, especially in the 250 class. The 250 class is going to be freaking bar banging action. It's going to be like those old bar to bar movies. We're going to have some good battles. And then the 450 class, I think it could potentially be really good if it's not the Jet Lawrence show. So hopefully it's not that. But anyways, before I wrap this up, I'm going to get a quick commercial break in here and then wrap up this episode. I'll be back in a minute, guys. Attention motocross fanatics. Are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte freeze pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes to keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops tastes absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. Moto X Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions. And I'm back here. About to wrap up this episode here, but first off, before I do that, talk about fantasy real quick. We got Rocky Mountain Fantasy. If you haven't joined our group already, you should do so, because I know this is kind of a last-minute thing we made up right before the year, but we're on Rocky Mountain Fantasy again for this year, and we're under there, or on there under Moto Space 247. So jump in the group and see what you can do, and see if you can, and see if you can beat me and wreck my great season I'm having so far. I've been having a great season so far. I'm really pumped on that. Normally I forget to make my picks and it's just a freaking, you know, shit show from there. So I'm excited. It's been a lot better. Shout out to our leader in points. I believe it is Trevor Gunlock. So shout out to Trevor. Dean's girlfriend, Emma. Shout out to her. She's kicking my ass right now. She is kicking everyone's ass. Kicking Dean's ass. Doing really good. Shout out to her. No shout out for Dean. Dean's not doing good. He's sucking this year. But I feel like he's going to have a comeback. I've been making fun of him a little bit, but I feel like he's going to, I should be watching my back. I think he's going to make a little bit of a comeback here. I shouldn't really start being too cocky, because I think he's going to make a late season comeback. But yeah, it should be some good fantasy this weekend too. The wild card is 15th, so I'm not making my picks yet. Normally I make my picks fairly early in the week, but I'm going to watch qualifying. If you guys aren't there in Ford Field, recommend, I guess, getting on race day live and then making your picks. And I think it should be pretty good, especially with the top five. It's kind of a thing to really think about. And we've had, you know, when Joey and Dean were on here over the last couple weeks, like, kind of talking about it. It's like, man, like, no matter who you put in the top five, it feels like you're leaving someone out that you think should definitely belong in the top five. So I think it should be really good, and the wild card should be pretty interesting too. I see guys, I feel like guys like Craig and Wilson should be well above 15, but now maybe, you know, Chiz up there somewhere. And I don't know, I'm more or less just, before I say anything, go out and watch qualify and see the times and see how everything ends up and make my pick there. But anyways, yeah, this year I wanted to do our own fantasy thing again. We were known to have fantasy. I don't even know how long we ran that for. We ran that for a while. We ran fantasy off of Instagram, starting off back in the day with the OG MX News 20. I did that for a few years, and I ran that up until 2019, I believe. I could be wrong, 2020. I don't know. Really wanted to do that this year, but that took a lot of, I guess, time. And that's something that really don't have too much of. So, you know, just rolling with Rocky Mountain for this year and having fun, as, you know, that takes zero time except for making my picks and flip-flopping and everything like that. But, yeah, join our group if you haven't already. And thank you for tuning in to this podcast here. Kind of newer to these preview episodes. I have done them throughout the years. I did one before Atlanta last year, and I believe I did maybe one or two more before that, if it was that last year or the year before or whatever. But I want these episodes to be straight to the point, and with the top 10 and points and injury updates and everything going into the round. So if it's fantasy wise, or if you're just an average fan that's not too deep into the motocross world and supercross world, if you just want to kind of know where the top 10 points are, I feel like it's a lot better watching if you know where, like, especially top five, it's a lot better watching if you know where everyone is and where the points shake up, right, going in, and you kind of, the battles are a little bit more fun to watch. So, yeah, I want to have this straight to the point, and it's kind of hard. I mentioned it before with these solo episodes. I kind of get off the tracks and just start talking about random stuff, so I'll keep that to a minimum here. So thank you for bearing with me here and tuning in to this first one I've had in the last couple weeks. So anyways, thank you guys. Peace out, and see you guys Sunday night. It should be our next episode. So stay tuned.